So we'll go to the verse number 16. Dvavimau purushau loke ksharashchakshara evacha ksharah sarvani bhutani kutasthokshara uchyate. So dvau, there are two imau, imau in this purushau loke, in this loka, in this imau loke, in this world, there are two purushas, two beings, two entities. And what are they? Kshara cha akshara. So kshara and akshara. Kshara is perishable, akshara is imperishable. So there are two entities, two beings, two purushas in this world, in imau loke, in this world, there are two entities. What is that? Kshara and akshara. And he said, kshara sarvani bhutani. All beings, sarvani bhutani, are kshara, are destructible, perishable. Kutastha, kuta akshara uchyate. Akshara is said to be the kuta, imperishable. Now, kuta is used many times in the scriptures. Hindu scriptures, it comes a lot. And kuta is the anvil. You know, if you nowadays, of course, we don't see that. But if you go to the village in India, you will still see the blacksmith. You know, he will be, you know, heating up the fire, and then he will have a piece of metal. Say he wants to shape it into a knife or something. It's a piece of metal. So he will heat it really hot in the fire. And then with the tongs, he will put it on an anvil. Anvil is like a firm piece of metal, iron, which is very strong. And that is called kuta. And he will place it, that piece of iron, and then he will hammer it with his hammer and then shape it into a knife or whatever he wants to make. So nothing happens to the anvil. Anvil remains unchanged, but in the presence of the anvil, the support of the anvil, all other changes take place. If he's making a knife, or he's making a spoon, or he's making a whatever, you know, he's making a horseshoe, for example, for horses. So all changes take place at the support of the anvil, but the anvil itself remains unaffected, unchanged. And so that's why kuta is the imperishable akshara being. And so that is called, also called as matter and spirit. In the Gurudev, in his commentary, says in the 13th chapter, they call it as Kshetragnya and Kshetra. Kshetra is the field and Kshetragnya is the knower of the field, the one who knows the field. So in this BMI chart, if you can see it, Om, the consciousness, is the knower. Everything else is the field. Everything else is the world, Kshetra. My body, my ego, the objects in the world, the mind, the feeler of emotions, all the emotions, the intellect, the thinker of thoughts, they're all changing. The body is changing, my mind is changing, my intellect is changing, the ego is changing, the world's objects, emotions and thoughts are changing, even my vasanas are changing, my tendencies. I had certain tendencies, they're getting stronger and weaker. But I, that consciousness, remains unchanged. But Krishna says that both I am. It does not mean that I am only Om, but I am also your body, as we had already heard in the previous chapters, in the previous verses. I am the digestive fire, I am the circulatory, I am the bones and the marrow, and I am the sun and the moon, and I am the plants, and I am the earth, I am the nutrition in the earth. So even though these things are changing, the Lord says, I am all of those, because everything came from me. That's why they say first God alone was, you know, the Bible says, and then in 7 days the world was created, or Brahman alone was, the Upanishad says, and then everything emerged from him. Like in one place in the Upanishad, they give an example like a spider. You know, spider creates the web out of his own mouth and himself becomes the whole web. It's not that this web is something separate. From him emerged the whole web. So that's why from Brahman came the whole universe. So everything is that Lord himself. And that's why there is nothing in the world that is undivine. Everything is him. Everything is the Lord. A Mahatma sees that. You and I, we have a problem. And that's why we say, I like this person. I don't like. He's evil. He's good. Mahatma says, they are all my beloved Lord. And he loves everybody unconditionally. He has no favorites or no prejudices or no. So that is the idea that everything is the Lord himself. But then why does Krishna say there are two? Because this matter appears to be changing, and it does. You know, like I was young and then I became old, youth, and then middle age and old age, and then ultimately I'll go. The body changes, the mind changes. So it appears to be changing, but I, the spirit, is constant. I, the consciousness. That's why they say, where is your focus? Are you focused on the changing world body, or are you focused on the spirit? If you are really truly focused on the spirit, then your goal will be spiritual growth, inner growth. I should become a better individual. But if your goal is on the body, then your whole focus will be, how can I get more for this body? How can I become more powerful, more successful, more rich? And that is the problem with today's world, because everybody is so much into materialism. Industries are producing more and more, and just, you know, and we think that this world will has in unlimited resources. It doesn't. The coal is going to run out. The oil and gas is going to run out eventually. You say we'll have nuclear power, but nuclear power is so dangerous. You know, once you have the spent fuel of the nuclear power, you put it in the ground, for thousands of years it is radioactive. So if the whole world is going to be using nuclear power, this earth is going to become a nuclear, you know, repository. Where are you going to keep that? So the point is that the excessive utilization of, in the process, we are destroying the environment. We are destroying the earth. They say we are going to conquer nature. But if you conquer nature, you will perish. And that is what this earth, the problem today is. We're not saying that you shouldn't have things, but overconsumption, overutilization, and people keep on producing. Today in the Super Bowl, there will be ads, you know, this kind of food you should buy, these kind of clothes, these kind of cars, and people run out, you know, and the car is running fine. No, it's 3 years old. I have to trade it in. Why do you need a new car every 3 years? If the car is running fine, keep it for 10 years. Most cars, nothing happens. But no, every 3 years, I have to trade in my old car. That is called consumption. My house, I have a clean, nice house. No. I have to upgrade. You know, I have to, unnecessarily, I put another $2 million and buy a, you know, clothes. So what happens is the companies will keep on, Seven Oaks will keep on creating new houses. Do I have to go and every time they create a new lot, go and buy it? No. That is the point, that excessive consumption, you know, jewelry. I have enough jewelry, but I go to India and buy 3-4 more sets. And where do I put them? In the bank. Why? Because the people are stealing nowadays. There are a lot of robberies in Indian homes. So the jewelry is lying in the bank, and then at the day of the party, you have to go to a wedding and you say, oh, I forgot now. It's a Sunday and it's locked. The bank is locked. So it's all it is doing is nourishing the bank. And you are, but the point is that excessive consumption, buying things you don't need, buying clothes you don't need, shoes, you know, people have 50, 100 pairs of shoes and they still go and buy 3 more. For what? The point is that the more you focus on the body, so the industry may keep on producing, let them produce. If you don't support it, they will not. The only reason they are producing is because you and I go to the mall and find the latest this and the latest. We don't need that. If your phone is working fine, you don't need a latest phone. If it's, you know, becomes old and not working, yeah. So we are not saying that you should become miserly. I'm not saying that. But there's a difference between miser, comfortable, and overindulgent. So be in the middle, be comfortable. And if you have extra money, as I've said before, share it. Give it to others. There's so many good organizations. Like that, you know, we every year do a fundraiser for CORD, the Chinmaya Organization for Rural Development. It's one of the best run organizations. every penny that you donate goes to a good cause. It helps the poor people in the villages, the women and the children. It is specially designed for women and children's upliftment. And we have personally seen them working. Nothing goes into administration. Everything goes. So find good organizations that do good work. Or if you have some friend or some neighbor or some relative who is hardworking and needs help, you know, the child cannot go to college, help that person. Even if one person, you change his life from a useless, from an ignorant person, you make him a college graduate, your life is fulfilled. So that is what they're saying. Focus on the spirit, not on the matter. And that's what happens, that people write their autobiography, you know, write their autobiography. I was a child, and then from a child I became a youth, and then I became a middle age. Now I'm old and I'm waiting to die. But that the youth changed, the child changed to the youth changed to the middle age changed to the old man, but I remained the same. I still remember what I used to do at age 5 or what I was doing as a young man, all the foolishness things I did. In fact, I have a distant uncle, my Neeru's very distant uncle, who actually wrote a huge book. I was surprised, colored book with all colored pictures. Very expensive. He must have spent several thousand dollars in Canada. All about his life, you know, and I don't know who is going to read it, you know. And he's sent it free to all, obviously to all of us, because we are, and you know, you open it and then he has his all family tree, you know, his kids and grandkids and his father and grand. I mean, it's good maybe for, you know, if somebody, but who is going to read that book? You know, he spent so much money on it. It's very beautifully bound, you know, thick like a hardcover. And color pictures of all his kids and all. It's okay, maybe he enjoyed that. But the point is that I was constant. I was there. I was there. So that spirit is the akshara, the imperishable, the anvil. In the presence of the spirit, all the changes take place. Just as in the presence of the anvil, all the iron gets, you know, beaten and changed. So similarly, it says, there are two Purushas, the Kshara and the Akshara, the perishable and the imperishable. But he says, why do they look so different? You know, the spirit is different from the matter. The matter, I don't see God in them. I see God in everybody, but definitely not in my brother-in-law. You know, or my mother-in-law in India, Saas. I definitely don't see Bhagawan in her. I might see in everybody else. So we always have this problem. So the problem is, why do we see God, or we see it in nature? In nature, it's very easy because nature doesn't talk back to you, right? She doesn't scold you. She doesn't give you a hard time. You see a beautiful tree. You say, oh, Bhagawan, I see you. Tree doesn't say anything. But in humans, it becomes a problem. And that is the problem. So they say that, why do we not see it? Because you are using the medium of the intellect. And the world has been created with the coordinates of time and space. You know, those who know mathematics, I have forgotten it. But if you remember, X is the one horizontal and Y. These are the two coordinates. Probably you know that better. But those who are engineers and mathematicians, so the X and Y coordinates are time and space. And using the coordinates of time and space, this whole world has been created. And the intellect looks at the world corrupted, because it is the intellect which is not seeing the world correctly. Through the medium of the intellect, when the world is perceived, then you don't see the world as God. You don't see the world as spirit. You see it as difference, him and her, me and her. Plant is different from animal, animal is different from fish, fish is different from human, everybody is different, because I don't see the oneness. I see the... So the intellect is a medium which corrupts, even though intellect understands, but then using the intellect, that's why they say, man ki aankhe khol. There's a very beautiful song, man ki aankhe khol baba. Open the inner eye of wisdom. Don't just use these two eyes, but through the inner eye of wisdom, when you see the world, then you will see Krishna everywhere. Then you will see Jesus everywhere. But it is when you are using the intellect and the two eyes, you are modifying. You are not, you're not able to see the world as God, and you are seeing all the differences. Swamiji Chinmayananda in his commentary gives a very beautiful example. It's a very interesting story. He says that there was this 3-year-old boy, and there's this his brother, 6-year-old. And as you know, older brothers, they love to harass the younger brother. So he finds a magnifying glass. His grandfather used to use a magnifying glass, you know, to see the newspaper. In the olden days, they didn't have very good lenses and glasses, so they had to use the magnifying glass to read the paper. So he finds this magnifying glass of his grandfather, and he calls the 3-year-old son, and he says, puts it on his finger, and his finger becomes fat, you know, with the magnifying glass. He says, "Yo, look, your finger is fat. It is now spoiled, and you have to go to the hospital, and they're going to cut it off." So the 3-year-old starts crying, "Oh, my finger is going to be cut off." So the mother comes, "What's wrong?" He said, "My finger is..." He said, "What do you mean, my finger?" "Oh, it's going to be cut off." He said, "My brother told me it's big." She said, "What did he?" So she looks at the glass. He said, "Don't use that. Your finger is fine." So the moment she leaves, again he puts the other finger. Now this finger, oh, and again he starts crying. And he's crying, "My finger is going to be cut." So the mother comes. He says, "This son won't listen." So he grabs the magnifying glass and tells him, go away. Holds the 3-year-old in her lap and says, "Son, look, it's not, your finger is fine. It is the magnifying glass." So then she puts it on her own finger. And she says, "Look, isn't my finger fat?" He says, yeah, your finger is going to be cut. And then she takes it away. "See, it's fine, nothing wrong. It's fat, fine. So he understands, it was the glass, nothing wrong with my finger. Then he takes the glass and he's very happy. For next 3 days, he doesn't see anything else. Everywhere he goes with his glass, he puts it on, and on the floor, on ants, and they look like elephants. And because now for him, it becomes a game where he used to be crying. So similarly, just as the magnifying glass corrupts the vision of that child, where he thinks there is something wrong, so similarly, using the medium of the intellect and the external eyes, we have corrupted our vision. We have ruined our knowledge. And that is the problem with the whole world, that none of us uses the eye of wisdom. None of us focuses on the spirit, but we focus only on matter, on what is visible to us. They say, go beyond the name and form and go to the essence. And once you do that, then only you can be called a saint. Then only you can be called Jesus or Buddha or Krishna or Shankaracharya or Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda, all of them. Once they realized the truth, then they could see Krishna everywhere. They could see Buddha everywhere. They could see Jesus everywhere. So he says, that's why there are two beings, Kshara and Akshara. One is temporary, this perishable. One is imperishable. One is matter. One is spirit. Keep your attention always on the spirit, that there is one spirit, there is one consciousness in all. That is not that there are different gods. You know, whether it's you call it Father in heaven, you call him Allah, you call him Krishna, you call him Buddha, you call him Shiva, you call him Saraswati, you call him Lakshmi. They're all one. There is only one, and that is there in all. And that is the understanding. So, Dvavimau purushau loke ksharas chakshara evacha kshara sarvani bhutani kutasthokshara uchyate. All beings are perishable. Everybody will die. All of us will go. But that spirit in me will reside forever. And that, once you understand that you are that spirit, then you go beyond death, because then I cannot die. But I am that eternal spirit. My body, if it dies, it's okay. So that is the beauty of this knowledge, that it makes you immortal. It makes you realize your immortal nature. So a person says, understood. Samajh gaya. There are two beings, kshara, akshara, perishable, imperishable. Krishna says, you have not understood anything. There is a third one that is beyond those, and that we'll cover next week, because you have not understood anything. Kuch nahi samjha abhi tak. So we'll talk next week about the third one. Who is beyond? Uttama, who is this Uttam Purush? That is beyond Kshara and Akshara. You say, mean beyond matter and spirit, there is a third one? Yes, there is a third one. So we'll talk about that next week. Thank you so much for your attention. I'm so grateful to all of you. Any questions? Any comments about this? No, that's true, because ultimately only thing that will you will take with you is the knowledge. Only the spiritual knowledge. Nothing else will go with you. The body, your wealth, your nothing else will go. Not only that, but last week also somebody was asking that can we meditate in the subtle body when you're in heaven or hell? You cannot. When you're there, all you're there is to enjoy, in heaven or hell to suffer. You cannot advance, you cannot progress. The only time you can spiritually evolve is in this human birth. It's so precious. Don't waste it. And there's one other, if you go to Brahmaloka after death. But to go to Brahmaloka, you have to do so much penance and so much good deeds. Very rare people who go there. So except, otherwise when you go to heaven, when you go to Pitralok, Gandharva Lok, any other loks, heaven or hell, all you do is either enjoy or suffer. Then you have to come back. So the human life is the only opportunity to evolve, to grow spiritually. So don't waste this time. What you have studied in the Gita, start applying that and make yourself like Krishna, make yourself like Jesus, make yourself like Buddha, Guru Nanak. That is the essence of this. But thank you. That's a good point.
As far as the intellect, I'm under the impression, you know, you need the intellect. You know, got a mind, but
right.
With the intellect, you need the intellect mm-hmm. to discern, you know.
Yes.
But you say that that's bad, that that's...
That's a very good question. I'm glad you brought that up. We are not saying that you don't need the intellect. You need the intellect to understand. But then go beyond the intellect. Don't get stuck on the intellect, because the intellect only can see the world of objects. The intellect, the two eyes, can only see objects. It's the third eye of wisdom. You have to even go beyond the intellect. Go beyond what you see. See, the world I can see. God I can't see. Spirit I cannot see. Because I'm still intellectually looking at the world. So the intellect is showing you only what it wants you to see. You have to go beyond the intellect to that which the intellect is pointing to. The scriptures are pointing to. Intellect is not bad. I think that I'm glad you brought that up. But the intellect has its limitations and it's modifying, so that I don't see the world as God. I see it as name and form. So that's why. Because the intellect, just as the magnifying glass modifies the finger to make it look different, so similarly, at the level of the intellect, so that's why people who are excessively stuck on the intellect then never progress spiritually, because you have to have faith. You say, I cannot see God, I cannot hear him, I cannot smell him, I cannot taste him, I cannot touch him, so how do I know there is God? Right? The intellect will say that there is no God, there is all this is bunk. Only thing important is material progress. You know, we have to be rich and successful. All these Mahatmas, you know, sitting in the caves because they had nothing to do. So they compose these scriptures and they are unsuccessful. So they want us to be unsuccessful. That is one understanding. You know, these guys sitting in the caves, they had no money, nothing. So they are telling us, you know, don't work, don't. So intellect will not understand. Intellect will be limited. So that's what we mean.
So the intellect doesn't drop the body. Intellect does not.
No, intellect will go to further worlds, but the intellect will not understand the truth. You have to go beyond the intellect. You have to quieten the mind, and in the quiet, when the mind and intellect are quietened, then you will experience the truth. When the mind and intellect goes after death to a different world, say you go to Gandharva Loka, or you know, you go to the different heavens and all, it's not going to realize the truth. It's just going to enjoy and come back. The subtle body, and then take another human birth or animal birth or whatever birth. So in your silence of your meditation, when the mind becomes still, then you experience the Lord. And that is, so you have to go beyond the intellect. Don't be stuck on the, otherwise if you're at the intellect level, you'll just become a professor. You'll become a professor in the university, you won't become a saint. See, there's a difference between a professor and a saint. Professor is still stuck on his intellect, while the saint has gone beyond the intellect.
So we have mind, intellect, and ego.
Yeah, that's all at the body level. That's all down. The only thing highest is the spirit. So you drop the ego and become one with the spirit.
That's wisdom.
That's wisdom, right. That's wisdom.
So you add wisdom to intellect.
Right.
Not just the heart to the intellect, because people would expect. So if you had wisdom, so you're more conscious, like what's going on.
And then faith. Faith is very important. Faith in the scriptures, faith in the guru is very important. Because they know what they have talked about. And not only that, but for thousands of years, this knowledge has been applied by various great people, and they have all benefited from it. Yeah, so whatever you can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch is not all real. There is something beyond that. That's what he means. Yeah, thank you. That's a very good point. Anything else? Okay, we have some important announcements. You must have got the email. February 12 to 14, next, not this coming Thursday, but the following Thursday to Friday, to Saturday, we have talks on Kena Upanishad. Kena Upanishad is a very beautiful text which talks about what is the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, the mind of the mind. So it very clearly points to the Lord, the Self, the Atman, very, very clear. It's a very beautiful Upanishad, very easy to understand. I mean, not that easy, but I mean, it's kind of very useful. And Vimalji, who is an excellent teacher, will be talking. So it'll be one talk on Thursday evening, Friday evening, and two talks on Saturday. So please make a note and try to attend. He's a very, very good teacher. So it'll be a week from this Thursday, Friday, and then two talks on Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday we'll have the regular Gita class, obviously. And then, again, we have announced before, but please keep your vacations free. Don't go to India, because June 24th to 27th, Swami Tejomayananda Ji is coming, the worldwide head. So if you do plan to go to India, go in July, because this is a great opportunity to hear the head of our mission. He's an excellent teacher. He'll be talking on practical Vedanta or living Vedanta called Vedanta Chintanam. We'll have the books available around in the month of May. We also have a petition. We'll have it on the front. There is a petition we are sending to the superintendent of schools to have them modify. The ideas of Hinduism are very outdated, very backward, and very wrong things about Hinduism have been given in the California textbooks. So we have actually collected, they actually want to collect about 2,000 signatures. We collected quite a few yesterday in India Association. We want to thank Mukesh Patel and Preeti for doing that. And we also have been collecting them here. So we'll send them all to San Jose, where they're going to go on Friday to the superintendent of schools at a hearing to modify that. So please sign the petition. And we do have lunch today. Also, if you have not sponsored a lunch throughout the year, it is a good opportunity to share, because, you know, all of us eat. But it's a good idea at least once a year to share. You don't have to do it alone. Usually two or three people share. It's not that much. So we do have certain dates available at the rest of the year. So if you have not sponsored, please contact the office. And thank you very much. See you next Sunday. Hari Om. Let's end with a closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschit dukha bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Thank you.